Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled, In Darkness There Is the Light of Jesus.
So remember, Isaiah is writing to people in exile who've been taken away and under the brutal regime of the Babylonians, and he has this message of hope for them.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the wonderful word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Indeed, it's wonderful. And then Luke 9:18-27.
Once, when Jesus was praying alone, with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets is arisen." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Messiah of God." He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I was interested in how both passages work in almost different ways. And throughout the Bible, there's paradox and contradiction. And but they're not really, they do work. So in the exile, they're downtrodden, they're without hope. They're looking at the former glory of Lebanon. And they're going, "Oh man, we look what we had before. We were strong, we were rich, we were powerful. And now we're feeble and we're fearful." And he has this word for them that says, "Be strong, do not fear. And this highway shall be opened, the holy way, and you shall not, there'll be no ravenous beast, you will not come to harm. It's like this real message of hope to people who are in despair. And I flick forward to here in Luke 9. So the disciples have just been with Jesus, and he's sent them out two by two, and he's asked them, to heal and to cast out demons. And they come back to him going like, wow, this is amazing. And then so that they're already like, this is something incredible is happening here. Light is coming, we are here. But then he comes in with this message that's almost bringing darkness. It's like the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected, and be killed. And their minds must be like, what? No, we're seeing victory. This is where it changes. This is what Isaiah's been writing about. This is the return to the most glory, to our former glory. Our Roman oppressors will be gone. And he's like, you have to take up your cross daily, follow me. And those who want to save their life will lose it. He's talking into their very motives of actually what they think is happening. And he's explaining what will. But it was met with confusion. I don't really understand. And then the following passage is the transfiguration. They go up on the mountain and Jesus is like a shining angel. And it's like, again, seeing this glory, but also this message that is confusing with darkness. And it's easy to be bewildered by the Christian message, isn't it? It's often seen as one of weakness, as a crutch, as something that has no relevance. And yet it's in the very moments where we're on our knees, or it's in the darkest places, that the light shines the brightest, and grace is the loudest, and it's God's surprising creativity is the best. So last night was Halloween, and it was interesting driving through town, seeing all these people, like, even in the pouring rain, in lots of costumes, and something about I know it can be fun, but I don't like the whole celebrating of death and evil. And some of these costumes children are wearing, I'm like, they shouldn't be in like those horror film type costumes. It's just ugh. Anyway, so we were going, and we went to a light party at it used to be Cannon Street, it's now New Creation Church. We went to a light party there, and the girls had glow sticks, face paints, and they gave a little message of actually being light in the darkness. And so even though it was really dark all around, it was raining, inside the lit, it's quite a small church, but it was beautiful. There's all these children and families celebrating light. And it's just a small example, but it's something to hold on to. Now, Hamilton Park, a few days ago, a 13-year-old was walking through at 5:30 in the afternoon and was threatened at knife point. He had to hand over his phone to another 16-year-old boy, and he had to hand over his passwords to his phone and his iPhone account. Otherwise, what could have happened? And fortunately, he's fine, but he's really shaken up by it. And I read this on Taunton Matters, and I'm like, such darkness. What's going on in our world where 13-year-olds can't walk through a park back home from school and be threatened at knife point? And then I hear of Frontier, a Youth for Christ, in their van, asking for prayer last night in their van, and they're there. And there's these points of light in our community. It's so easy just to see the darkness and point and go, there's no hope. But actually, there's people out there who are picking up their cross, they're serving. It's so easy to be at home or so, but some people are in the van serving hot chocolate to young people in the park, making sure they're safe. Other people are opening up buildings and throwing light parties and just trying to display the generosity of Christ. And as part of that van, from Youth for Christ, a 14-year-old girl was baptized on Sunday. And that is a wonderful story of actually, they've managed to do the Alpha course with a group of their friends, and this one girl wants to commit, and she's part of this New Creation Church. And I just want to give thanks for that. So I would say, so I think sometimes we feel like we are in a place of exile, where we're downtrodden, we're broken. And we need that message of restoration. There is hope. There is light in this world. You just got to see it. And other times we think a bit much of ourselves, like we know what's going on. And Jesus comes in and says, no, I am in control. And things aren't always going to look like you expect. And things might not always go well for you, but I am with you. I was listening to a song this morning. I'm not going to play it to you, but the words just stuck out at me. And it's Phil Wickham. The guy who does This Is Amazing Grace. He's got a lot of newer songs as well. And this song is called The Battle Belongs. And the verse I just want to read out. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There is nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. And when my hands lifted high, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So let's pray into the darkness of this world for light to shine. Let's pray for a hope. Let's pray for a creativity in the Middle East that we haven't seen before, because I want to see hope there where there doesn't appear to be any. And and for our community, for.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.